gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard, and we got all the Wranglers here. Good morning, Kyle.
Good morning.
And good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And good morning, John.
Good morning.
And hey, that makes all. And we say good morning, Lord Jesus, because we know that where two or more are gathered, he gathers there also. And that's a good thing. And we say good morning to the remnant as well that join us for coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers, live from the Radio Ranch this morning, Saturday, November 8th, 2014. You know, but if you hear this message any other time, it is replayed throughout the weekend and into next week. And it's archived at our website, scriptures4america.org, and at the network site, sfawbn.com. If you listen to it any other time, stay tuned, because you just never know what's going to get brought up on Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Kyle, would you open us up in prayer, and then we'll go from there.
Oh God, my Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for a beautiful morning, Lord. We just, for this opportunity to gather together in your name. We thank you for the Son who died on the cross for us, Lord, that made this possible, that makes life eternal possible, Lord. We thank you for so many things. We ask you to be with us, watch over us, guide and protect us, not just the four of us, but our families and all the remnant out there, Lord, that I know that you've kept for yourself, that you haven't let their knee bow down to Baal, Lord. We ask you to be with all those who are called and chosen, that they be able to walk faithful, Lord. Walk that talk that they like to talk. And Lord, just run that good race till the end. We like to ask you to be with all those that's having difficulties, Lord, and tribulations and trials and because they're everywhere. We need that extra dose of Holy Spirit to help us get through those times. Let us be kind and caring for one another so they know they're not alone, or that we give them help and comfort. Just an encouraging word sometimes. Again, there's so much stuff to I could pray about, but Lord, we'll do that later. But anyway, just be with all of us. Let us have a good radio show. Be with our thoughts and our words. Open up our eyes and our ears a little wider this morning than they were yesterday. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. And I guess, being it is Saturday morning, we can have the phone lines opened up. We'll get the button pushed there if we've got some people tuning in that want to join us. And didn't know if anybody had anything specific to open up with to start out. I know we sent out on Thursday's prayer chain. It was quite a storm rolling in on Alaska coming in Thursday. I guess it was leftovers from a big super typhoon, and when they were talking about 70 mile an hour winds and 40 foot seas coming in on the Aleutian Islands of Alaska, to me that sounded pretty impressive. I don't know, Jason, is that kind of a bit more than normal for up there, or you've spent time in Alaska, or is that just kind of what you get?
It depends on the area on where you're at, really. But yeah, it sounds like they're going to get hit by a doozy up there. From what I've heard, it could be the worst storm ever recorded. You know, but you know, that's what they say when they when a storm's coming too. It's like how often is your weatherman really accurate? You know, sometimes some places, parts of the country, they can be pretty accurate, and other times it's just like rolling dice.
Yeah, out here is definitely the dice roll most of the time. Most of the time.
Well, it's supposed to affect the lower 48 all week next week too. So,
yeah,
cold temperatures and snow. So
yep.
We'll see. We've been praying for our brethren there in Alaska.
Yes. And it happens. There's years, being from Florida, there were years that we wouldn't get any hurricanes. And boy, there were some years you just, you know, they'd
one
be
right
one,
after,
right,
yeah.
one right after another. And so.
Well, yeah, I guess it's a year almost to the date from that worst hurricane ever to hit the Philippines. I forget what the name of that was. But that caused just unbelievable. It brought like ocean vessels all the way up onto shore.
Well, the word tells us that he speaks to his people in the tempest at times, from the storm, and sometimes it's just the storms of our life. I think, you know, like you prayed for, Kyle. There are, if you join us on Wednesday night, you get an opportunity to pray for the saints, to pray for those out there that are in need, that are right in the middle of the storm and the tempest in their own lives. And but many times it's then that God speaks to us. It's then that even though it may be raging around us, that if we'll return to Him, well, His word says He will return to us. And we are to do that. We get that instruction time and time again throughout the Bible. Well, it's early on in the program, but the phone's ringing, so let's go to the phone lines this morning. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, gentlemen. This is David from Texas, and I just want to let you know that Monday and Tuesday are some pretty historic days, not only for this country, but for Christianity. Monday, November 10th, is the 394th year of the landing of the Pilgrims at Cape Cod, and then on Tuesday will be the signing of the Mayflower Compact. And this is pretty significant because most of the people coming out of colleges have no idea what's inside of the Mayflower Compact. And one of my colleagues I was talking to that I just got hired on had heard about the Mayflower Compact, but had never knew what was inside. And once I told him that the second paragraph was stated that they came for the advancement of the Christian faith for the glory of God. And then you can always tie that into Matthew 28:19, which says to go out and teach and baptize people in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So I think Monday and Tuesday gives us a great opportunity to go out and spread the gospel, linking the Mayflower Compact back to the Bible.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Thank you, David.
So, that is.
I think we forget that sometimes.
That's all I had to say, but... I'll just
Appreciate you sharing that with us.
Yeah, thanks so much, Dave.
Okay.
God bless. Thanks. Have a great weekend.
You too.
You know, along those lines, we have a small treatise that kind of highlights that, or at least touches on it. Pastor done it years ago, called The True Thanksgiving Story, and got it recently retyped and retypeset, and are working on getting that out in a small booklet form, similar to the size of our Dragon Slayer newsletter. And we got a reproduction. Couldn't get a picture of the original document. I don't think we could read it if we could, but of just what Brother David said, the Mayflower Compact, that was the first time that Christians willingly covenanted and came together in a civil body politic to do just as he said, to further the Christian, not the Christian religion, because they understood that Christianity was a way and not a religion, but to further the Christian faith. And that is the foundation this country was built on. So we have that Thanksgiving treatise, going to advertise it in the next Dragon Slayer newsletter, and got it retyped, and we've got it reset, and do have a picture of that Mayflower Compact, and hopefully it'll print out good enough. You can read it. You can see what it, you know, that it was the precursor to the other. Well, they call it, what do they call them? Nation founding documents that they put so much faith in today. But we can even go, you know, we can go beyond the Constitution, before the Constitution, to this Mayflower Compact and see what the thoughts were and what the intent was to settle this nation.
Yeah, I liked how he talked about the opportunity that we as individuals can have to basically also enhance and spread that faith of the good news. Because this is the time of year, I don't know about you guys, but it seems like this, from now on forward till next spring, is the time of year that it's easier to do that. There's more opportunity. I don't know if it's because it's, you know, you slow down a little bit because it's dark at 5 o'clock or what the deal is, but there seems like at the post office line or at the gas station or just places throughout, maybe it's a Christmas song that's playing or what, things come up that give us an opportunity to, you know, talk what we need to talk, you know, and I think this is just another, I never really thought about this day, that day, Tuesday, I guess, being that day, but there's another opportunity to spread truths that people don't hear anymore, you know, because, you know, there's times where you have opportunities that you have a choice, you know, it's a crossroad. Do I bring something up here, or do I just let it slide again, you know? And it might be, like I said, at the line of the grocery store or whatever, but there's lots of opportunities that we in general let slip by, you know. So, good point.
Yeah, I was looking just on Wikipedia. It says the Mayflower Compact was the first governing document of the Plymouth Colony. It was written by the separatists, sometimes referred to as the Saints, fleeing from religious persecution from King James of England. They traveled aboard the Mayflower in 1620 along with adventurers, tradesmen, and servants, most of whom were referred to by the separatists as strangers.
Wow.
They signed it aboard the ship on November 11th, 1620.
Can you imagine the excitement those people had to be having. I mean, I can tell you the excitement I had when I moved out here. Because I was moving to a different world, basically, for me.
Yeah.
But nothing compared to what those people... I mean, they moved to a different world in the name of Christ. The yeah, there was fear. I'm sure there was fear.
Oh, there was?
There was probably some women saying, do we have to, or whatever. But I just can't imagine the excitement that those pilgrims and those that came to you know, enhance and spread their faith. You know what I mean? To settle in this land had to be so exciting, and I bet you they were so much closer to God than we can even imagine. And you can tell that by the things they wrote.
Well, you look into that Founding Fathers monument, too, that was anointed by one of the Acres of Diamond men just, you know, several 6 or 8 weeks ago or whatever, and the deeper you look into the history of that monument, that represented basically the same Christian beliefs as those people who came on the Mayflower. Pretty amazing. Sometimes you wish we could get another Mayflower.
Is there another piece of land somewhere we can go?
No, this is it. This is JERUSA.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
but people have tried that in their little communities. It don't seem to work out too good for them.
No.
Yeah.
We just need to get a spirit of repentance to come upon the land and
yes,
take it back. There was an interesting revelation, I guess you'd call it, here yesterday, the 10th appeals court that represents Michigan and Kentucky and Ohio, I forget what's the other state, oh, and Tennessee, ruled in favor of upholding the gay marriage laws, which was total contradictory to all of the other appeals courts judges. And remember last week we lifted up those judges, and one of the Acres of Diamond men pointed out to me that although they didn't whore themselves for money, they really resigned from the fight, and in reality it would have been better if they would have just stood and said, we're not resigning, and we're not going to do it. So that's probably a better way to look at it. But I think this is huge, because what it's going to do is it's going to force it back into the Supreme Court. Not that the Supreme Court is anything, but I think it's important that maybe in the next prayer or here shortly that we as the remnant and Christians put that Supreme Court on notice that you will be held accountable for the way that you judge on earth, because this going to the Supreme Court is going to be pretty substantial as far as, you know, in this world.
Yeah, it is. And
I thought it was encouraging.
They need to know that. The Supreme Court does. Just as each and every one of us need to know that.
And we warn them, then God's going to take care of it, because they've been warned. So that's what we need to do, I think.
Yeah, I
agree. Yeah, that's interesting.
I think that's our job, Jason, as Christians.
Why don't you pray? Yeah, why don't you pray that right now, Jason?
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we do come before you, and we come before you, and we lift up each and every one of these so-called judges. We know that we come to the judge, the Almighty Judge, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the one lawgiver that there is, Father, and we're grateful to be able to do that. And right now we come before you and we lift up the what they call judges of the land. We lift them up, each and every one of them, to you. We put them on notice, and we pray, Father, that when they go to make a decision, when they go to make a verdict, when their gavel comes down, Father, that the thought occurs to them, that it comes into their mind that they will be judged for each and every judgment that they pass on, that they pass down, Father, that they will be held to a higher point of accountability, Father, and that you do judge them, Father, and that you judge them for each and every one of the judgments that they're making, Father. We know that they're making a lot of decisions that are contrary to your word, your law, And Father, we want them to be held accountable for it. And right now we just pray for each and every one of them to be put on notice that they do be held accountable, Father, according to your word and your law and your judgments and your statutes that you have set in place. We're grateful to be able to do that. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.
And Heavenly Father, we just ask that you put the fear of God back in those that are yours, Lord, those that are not of the seed of Satan. Lord, those that are under your blood, just pray that you would put the fear of God back in them, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
That reminds me of something you were telling me earlier this week, Richard, about Mr. Robertson again, Beck, basically telling that to the Republican Party is, if you're not for God, you're not for America. Something to that effect. And that should be just everyday common language for a Christian. You know,
right.
Just if you're not serving God, I don't want you serving America. Because that you're out of order from the get-go. You know,
Right. Well, you know what got me thinking about that was John mentioned a quote. Oh, it was either last week or the week before, and I don't think I've got it here with me. But it was basically addressed to Christians, and it was either change your ways or change your name. Do you remember that quote, John? And it was more of amend.
Yeah, that was on Sunday.
Yeah, amend thy ways or change thy name, and you know that's repent. And listen, America, if you're going to be a Christian, you need to be a follower of Christ. And that goes for me, that goes for you, Remnant, for each and every one of us. And if his word says it, then that is truth. It's as simple as that. I did. I went back and looked this week at the one of the online, the recording, where Phil Robertson of Duck Dynasty spoke to the Republican Leadership Convention. Back in the spring, I think it was, spring or early summer. And he had a few minutes there, and he spoke to them, and he read Public Law 97-280 to them, held it in his hand because, well, a Christian had sent it to him. And he read it to the Republican Leadership Conference, and he told them they needed to repent, and they needed to be baptized. And he told them just what you brought up, Kyle. He said, if you're not good for, or if you're not right with God, you're not good for America. It was as simple as that. And one other quote he had, and then we've got a caller. We'll go to the caller. But he went on to point back to what we said earlier about that America's founding. And he said, America, America, it cannot be said too strongly or too often that this great nation was not founded by religionists, but by Christians. Not on religions, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. And, you know, to me, that's more of the gospel being preached to all creation.
Which goes right back to that Mayflower Compact.
Right.
We're talking about.
Yeah. Right. And back to, as our brother David brought up from Matthew 28:19, that we are to go into all the world and teach the gospel, baptizing. And,
yeah.
That group that met there, they heard it. There was another big group met last Sunday that heard it as well. But let's go to the phone lines. Maybe we can come back to that. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Yes, good morning. I have a question for you guys, and I'm not being like a smart aleck, but I wonder how many of these Supreme Court judges are Jews.
Three.
Do you guys
but
know?
See, that's a good point, Joe, but here's the thing. Six Catholics, three Jews. Okay, let's say the Jews are Jews of the synagogue of Satan. Those
mm-hmm.
Catholics are Catholic because of choice. They can come to repentance.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying?
Well, yeah,
and
the,
if you have
reason,
six,
the reason why I'm
all
saying
sudden,
that, or the reason why I'm asking is because I remember, what was it, 2 weeks ago this question was brought up, and I was wondering to myself back in Pastor Peter's sermon series, They and Us, he played a sound clip, I guess, of a Jewish senator or something, and he was a Supreme Court justice or judge. Abner Mikva. And I thought that was pretty good, being that we are Judaized, and he gives. I mean, here's the knowledge coming from the horse's mouth as to why socialism is so rampant. It's because these people who call themselves Jews are so socialist by design. They're not people of the land. They don't produce anything.
Well, right.
Except maybe
they're the
if you want to call it that. Everything else that they do is kind of like they usurp, they co-opt things, and even their language is a hodgepodge of different national languages that they happen to be living in.
Yep, you're right, Joe, and they are doing.
They're parasites,
but they are doing what God has instructed them to do. They have to, you know, whether it's a creature of instinct or what. We've turned away from God and His laws, His guidelines, His blessings, and we don't exist in a void. And you know, the Word tells us if we won't follow Him, He'll give us plenty to follow.
But those six Catholics. They can come to repentance, and we ought to pray for all those that can to come to repentance before we condemn them.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
If those six Catholics all of a sudden changed and became true Protestants and proclaimed Jesus Christ, those three Jews would mean nothing.
Right.
All right, then. You guys have
Thanks,
a good
Joe.
One.
You too. Thanks for the call, Joe.
Okay, bye.
All right. And as you can tell, the phone lines are open about halfway through the program this morning, 307-745-5913. You know, right at the very beginning of Isaiah 1:16 says, "Wash yourselves." That's called baptism. "Make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your deeds from my sight." And the only way to do that is to repent and to be washed by the blood of the Lamb. That is the only way. Those instructions were given in Isaiah in a time of captivity, and a fit time of physical captivity. And, you know, we are certainly in a spiritual captivity today, but it still applies. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, remove the evil of your deeds from my sight. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice, reprove the ruthless. And I think that's just what you're talking about, John, and what the prayers that Jason prayed for these judges and justices, that's what it does. It puts them on notice. Reprove the ruthless. Listen, judges, you've been ruthless. You've been ungodly and unchristian and hypocritical in your rulings. And
put the fear of God back in them. That's right. What needs to happen.
Right.
Rule by the Ten Commandments, because that's what it was there for, and they used to do that.
Yeah.
Even our Supreme Court originally would look to the Bible for their guidance. Well, I'm not saying it's not going to happen. I mean, it could happen is what I'm saying, so.
Well,
if we don't pray and we don't believe, then.
Right. Well, there's that phone line again. Let's go back to it. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, Richard and Wranglers. This is Nick from Illinois.
Good morning, Nick. How are you?
Good. How are you all doing?
Good morning, Nick.
Abundantly blessed.
Yes, sir. Well, I'm calling to ask for a little prayer request. I got an uncle up here from Tennessee. They got up here last night, my aunt and uncle, and we've been wanting to talk to my Uncle Avery about baptism. He hasn't been properly baptized. Thinks he's a Christian and everything, so we want to get him baptized in a proper manner. And same way with my father-in-law. We've just been talking to him. He understands it, just not ready to do it. and that he's getting pretty old and he doesn't have a lot of time left, so we're trying to impress upon him the urgency to do so. So if you all could pray, we're having a supper with my Uncle Avery tonight. So if you all could pray and that I'd have the proper words to say, and it'd open his heart up to the simple truth of baptism, I sure would appreciate it.
Sure. John, sure. Do you want to do that?
Sure, I'll do it.
We'll be in agreement.
Heavenly Father,
yes.
You heard the request, Lord. We come before you in agreement. And Lord, we pray that you guide and direct Nick, grant him wisdom and understanding, give him the words that he needs to speak. And even beforehand, Lord, that you would prepare these relatives' hearts and
yes,
minds,
Lord,
and souls to receive the truth, Lord.
Yes.
That you'd break the crust off their hearts and that they would just receive what it is that this brother has to reveal to him, Lord. We pray for grace and mercy for him, Lord, in their, on their souls, that you would just touch their hearts and that they would be convicted of what it is that they need to do, Lord, and that they would go into that watery grave of baptism, die to their old lives, repent of anything that they've done that's against your will and your word. They come up out of that water white as snow, receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit, and their names will be entered in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's our prayer, Lord, and we know it's in accordance with your will, because these are your people. In Christ Jesus' name, we pray these things, and we thank you ahead of time for answering it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
All right, Nick.
Thanks, Nick.
Thank you. God bless.
God bless you. Goodbye.
While we're praying, I want to lift up Brother Bill. He's got a gun show today, and he pretty much desperately needs a good show. So, Heavenly Father, we do lift up our Brother Bill there in Kentucky, and we just ask that you'd open the floodgates, Lord, to a prosperous show for him. Lord, I pray that as he talks to each and every one of those people and hands them a God Save America DVD, Lord, that would be the key that would awaken that person, Lord, awaken your people all across this land. And I pray that as he displays the God Save America t-shirts, Lord, that people would buy them and they would wear them with pride in Christ, in humility, Lord, with pride and humility, that your people who are called by your name would humble themselves and pray and seek your face and turn from their wicked ways, so that you will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Talked to Brother Josh this morning. First thing he sent me was, well, I was starting my day out right, thanking the Lord. Then he sent me a picture of probably a 6-foot moccasin that it looks like cut off his head with a backhoe. So that's always a good way to start out the day, killing a snake.
Oh, yeah. That's a little overkill with a backhoe, but whatever it takes. Whatever it takes.
Yeah, it looks like it was an excavator. The bucket's huge on that thing. Must be a big backhoe. But I thought that was kind of neat first thing this morning.
Nothing wrong with that. You know, John, you prayed that 2 Chronicles 7:14, and that's a... I think in our circles, it is a fairly common scripture. People are familiar with it. Our pastor put it out quite a bit. We have it, like you said, on the God Save America Again DVD and on the T-shirts
It's a little bigger than that too, because if you go into like a Bible store, you'll see a picture on the wall, and of course a lot of them will say, in my house we'll serve the Lord or whatever. But some will say 2 Chronicles 7:14.
Starting to see that a little more and more. You know, we've talked the last few weeks about what's been going on in Houston, the Houston City Council coming against the churches in the area and subpoena. They subpoenaed 5 pastors and basically said, we need to have your sermons, your correspondence, anything and everything you've said regarding homosexuality, perversion of a bill that they had passed, the mayor, I mean, city council, anything. And the pastors said no. It's kind of the bottom line. They didn't run down to the Kinko's Copy Center and make copies of everything and email it all up and say, oh, yes, Queen Park, Queen Mayor Center Parker, we'll sure give you all this. They basically said no. And then they did have a last Sunday, they called it I Stand Sunday in Houston. Big church down there, some of the remnant sent some links in this past week to some of the videos that they recorded and some of the things that they said. And, you know, before I watched a couple of them, and played a couple for Kyle as well. And, you know, I really, going into it, thought that it was going to be more along the lines of what you hear from Joel Osteen and his wife and associate pastor, you know, that came out a couple months ago. You talk about false prophets and prophetesses or whatever, that just serve God to where it pleases you. And half of the, well, probably most of the Judeo-Christian false church world, since then, has stood up and supported her. You know, they're not going to come against, nobody's going to come against the Osteens in those circles, because they're where it's happening, you know, in those circles anyway. And so, I have to tell you, watching some of the videos from the I Stand Sunday was encouraging, because it wasn't along those lines. It wasn't along the proud to be an American lines. And that verse, John, 2 Chronicles 7:14, whoever the pastor was, got up, and he read that to the people. And he said, 2 Chronicles 7:14, when my people who were called by my name, and he held his hands out, and he said, that's you. That's us. He didn't say, when those Jews over there come to know Christ at the fulfillment, the time of the Gentiles is over. You know, he didn't go into all that false rigmarole that I expected anyway. But he said, that's you, people. Repent. Repent. A couple of quotes.
And be baptized, each and every one of you.
No, he didn't go that far.
In the name of Jesus
Absolutely.
Christ, for the remission of sins.
Amen.
But we know
that far.
But we know Phil has went that far.
But Phil did.
You know,
he spoke
because those guys, most of those guys were Baptists, remember? And
yes.
And we know the outward sign of the inward grace doctrine that they teach.
Yeah.
But the good thing that I thought was that in the few clips that I seen was, they didn't promote any false doctrines. They didn't promote outward sign of an inward grace. Because, you know, then Phil and them would have had a problem because, you know, Phil is a Church of Christ boy. And the Church of Christ, if they know one thing, right, we all know, they know baptism for them, you know, most of them,
yes.
Anyway. So, but they kept their different doctrines out. And from what I could tell, they only, you know, and I'm not putting them up. I'm not saying go to their church because I know if I went to those Baptist churches, I'd be out in five
sure.
minutes. I mean,
sure.
But what they were saying for the, you know, the world or whoever wanted to hear, they were sticking to truths, you know, and I think that's what you're saying.
It was.
You were expecting to hear some lies.
I really was. And I, you know, a couple of quotes I wrote down was one was, don't mess with the pulpits in America. And, you know, I don't remember hearing that 2 weeks ago or 2 months ago or 2 years ago, other than from the man that was behind our pulpit. Now, we heard that from him. But
absolutely.
No, not from anybody else. And I thought that was a good thing. One of the quotes was that they put out there was, our greatest problem is not in the White House, it's in the church itself. Now, that's a Bible truth. You know, where does judgment begin? In the household of God. And that another one was, we must get our lives right with the Lord. It's time we repent. And
I'm amazed to this day how you talk to people, and if you can recite that, you know, 2 Chronicles 7:14, they've never heard it before, and it hits them
yeah.
like really strong. But they're like, well, how did you memorize it? Because I took the time, and it's important to be able to, people take you more seriously when you can quote scripture that's significant. And you know what, if you ask God for more Holy Spirit, if you are baptized for the remission of sins in the name of Jesus Christ,
Amen.
You get the gift of the Holy Spirit. And once you get that, you start to get those keys that unlock it. If you seek, you shall find. You know, 3 years ago, 3.5 years ago, I couldn't tell you any scripture from, you know, oh yeah, it might be, it's in the Bible. But now, over the last
3.5 years how that I've taken my walk more seriously, that I'm not just riding on the coattails of our pastor. I can start to see things that I couldn't see before, and I can start to memorize scriptures that are important that God's using to wake people up.
Amen. Amen. Yep. Well, the phone lines are open.
And there's really no excuse. There's no excuse for anyone, remnant, not to take the time to learn 2 Chronicles 7:14 and be able to say it at the drop of a hat, because it's important. I've been convicted of a long time that that is one of the major keys to this national repentance.
Yeah, it's a major key to a personal repentance. I mean, that is just a major key. You know?
It is.
Right.
And it's like I said, it was encouraging to me to see it being put out at a Baptist pulpit, with the masses there. I mean, there were several thousand people there, and it was stream live, and it was, you know, in their circles, it was a big deal.
And they were, yeah. What I noticed is they weren't pointing out the door when they were telling people how to live for God. They were pointing at each other. They were saying the buck stops here. You know, I mean, and I was impressed with that, because, you know, it's easy to say in generalities, we as a people or this name. I mean, but they were basically, you know, pointing to the 1,000 or however many was there in the crowd, saying, buck stops here, people. You know, we need to get our lives right with God.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, you know, there's no better place to start than with yourself.
That's where it begins for
everyone. That God Save America DVD, if you actually take the time, or if you hand it out to somebody and they take the time and they watch that whole thing, the way even the Israel truth is presented with Raymond Capps materials, and it's divine as far as intervention, I believe. God put that DVD together. God gave our pastor the resources and the truth to put in that DVD as a legacy of the Israel truth.
Yes.
And what the country needs to do to get back to him. There's no other way to say it.
I agree. And you know, we couldn't sit down and redo that and make it better. It stands where it is. And what we're called to do is what we have done, is to make a bunch of them and get them out. And be a tool in your hand, remnant, so that you can do that. So that you can order the T-shirt and order the DVDs and pass them out. You know, leave them at the library. We have people that tell us they do that. Leave them at truck stops and at the library. And we know Brother Bill out in Kentucky, he passes them out there. We have others.
By the hundreds.
That do that very thing. They go to gun shows and pass them out. And so... Pray
about. You want them, order them, we'll send them to you. No charge.
Absolutely.
Get the word out there.
Absolutely. Had a brother called or emailed up about a month ago and said, hey, can you send me the graphics? I can, you know, I'll just copy them one at a time on my computer, and then I'll print them in here, you know, one at a time on his computer. And I replied back and I said, you know, we're not going to charge you for them. Let me send you 100. If you'll pass them out, we'll send them to you. And it was in Ohio. And absolutely, we did that. We'll send them out to you. It's an outreach. It's an outreach. We are, as the remnant, we're commanded to do that, to share the gospel. It's a way to do
it. Just listen to the words of the song, too. Bring us to our knees, let us repent, and then God save America again.
Amen.
I mean, just the song.
Why don't you take it from the beginning there, John?
Yeah,
I want to spare the audience.
You know, Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge," and you know that's exactly where we are. You know, John, you said earlier you've witnessed to people that can't believe, that never heard 2 Chronicles 7:14. Well, guess what? They lack knowledge. They lack biblical knowledge, because 99.9% of the pulpits in America haven't taught the Bible, and they don't, and it destroys the people.
Yeah, you know, November 4th, 4 days ago was the election, right? So,
yeah,
you know, I watched a lot of ads ridiculous ads.
You couldn't help.
Too many.
And nobody, not one of these people running for any office that I seen ran on, I'm a godly person. I'm going to bring godly. Yeah. I mean, you would think that.
That doesn't give votes, that, Kyle.
You would think that people would demand. We want somebody in office that, what, is going to love their neighbor as themselves. That's going to do unto others the way they would like to be done to. I mean, you'd think those would just be obvious principles, you know? And do they even have to put their hand on a Bible now when they get elected, or is that just out the window now?
I don't know.
But anyway, it's got to start with each and every person out there wanting and getting back to the principles and the doctrines that we have in this book laid before us. You know what I mean? And I don't understand why. I mean, I can understand why people don't want somebody pointing their finger at them when they're doing the same thing.
But, and that's just what I was going to say. That's why. The people, the masses, they don't want somebody standing up saying, I'm a godly man and I want God's law. Because the people go, ooh, no. I don't want that.
I might have to be held
because
accountable.
I'm living in sin. That's why they don't want that coming up.
They've said that 2/3 of the people didn't vote. And I bet you if you look at the demographics in this country, probably 2/3 of the people are at least call themselves Christians, right? And they're tired of voting for the evil of two lessers.
That's true, yeah.
So if you had somebody who even came up there, if you had those candidates would even just proclaim 2 Chronicles 7:14, those Christians would vote for that person. Dad said all the time, if someone would just stand on their Christianity and they would not fold under the pressure, God would reward them and put them into the office.
Yeah. I know it would have perked me up if I would have seen one of those ads and they weren't slamming the other guy. They would have just been saying, this is what I believe and this is what, you know. Whether they're lying or not, well, God will take care of that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I know I would have sat up in my chair and thought, well, this is different.
Well, that's why when I saw those, and I brought it up here, I'm not promoting those Baptist churches in Houston, but they said no to the ungodly, and that pastor, he preached 2 Chronicles 7:14, you know? I mean, he said, we have all, he didn't call her a tyrant, but he said, you know, how we got this mayor, this, you know, practicing sin mayor. Openly homosexual. He didn't get into all that detail, but that's what she is. And you know, one of the quotes they said, the further the church goes into adultery, the more the tyrants will rise to power. I mean, they got presented to those people.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And
you
so you're
that,
right.
God,
I'm sorry?
You wear that God Save America t-shirt, and I was wearing it back east there when we were down working, doing ministry work. And you can see the people who realize the importance of 2 Chronicles 7:14, who understand that we do need God to save America again, and then you can see those who are despised and they can't stand it, you know?
Yeah.
So it's also
That's
a
right.
good way to identify those terrors.
It is. You know, we had a caller last week about something about, hey, it's cooling off here. We need some sweatshirts. We're going to have to get with Russell and get some because I've noticed that very thing, John. I'd when I knew I had to stand in line at the post office, and sometimes there's a good line there, I'd wear that shirt. And you're right. You know, once you make it up to the front of the line and you're there talking with the postal employee and there's 12 people behind you, you can feel it.
Mm-hmm.
You can feel that there.
Yeah.
You absolutely can. I've experienced that. They're reading 2 Chronicles 7:14, and you're right.
The enemies of God know their Bibles better than we do, and they know that that's a key. They know that if our people do humble themselves and seek His face and turn from their wicked ways, He will hear from heaven, forgive our sin, and heal their land. They know that is a truth because there's one thing that God cannot do, and that is lie.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's funny how you can feel it, you know. Even if you that same line that you're talking about, Richard, if you want to bash the politicians, the people would be like, I mean, they would be like, they would join right in with you. Let's get them. I mean, there's that little Chuck Wagon Cafe in town here, and a lot of old men go there, you know. It's not the cleanest place in the world, but anyway. They go there, and they bash Obama and Ron Paul. I mean, I've heard them back. I mean, they bash them all, you know, because – but the second you start bringing up maybe
religion.
You shouldn't get, maybe you shouldn't get drunk on Friday night. Or maybe, you know, I mean, maybe we should get our act together and that would help that act that we're talking about. All of a sudden, you know, yeah. All of a sudden you're the evil one. You're the one that they despise. You're the one they don't want to talk to. You know, I mean, and it's just the people don't want to – what the Second Chronicles said. They don't want to look at themselves. They don't want to humble themselves. They don't want to point the finger at them first. And so consequently, there's no improvement because they won't follow that law.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so everything stays the same or else gets worse. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, judgment begins at the household of God. We've said it before. That's your household, Kyle. And that's yours, John. And yours, Jason. And that's mine. And that's Josh's that you talked out there to earlier. And that's Joe's. And that's Paul's. And that's where it starts. You know, it has to start there. And then it will grow as long as it continues to start in other households as well.
When those guys brought up adultery at that conference Sunday, you know there was adulterers out there in that crowd.
Yeah.
You know, and they needed to hear it. Now, what they do with it is up to them.
Right.
But they needed to hear it because they're either were living in adultery or they had in the past, because we know that that's running rampant in this nation. Yeah. The homosexuality isn't the only thing that's running rampant. People need to hear that. They need to hear what the Bible teaches. You stop it.
Yeah.
You humble yourselves. You know, and that's the my people part. You know what I mean? Anyway,
yeah.
Repent. I thought that was great.
Repent, God says. Repent and return to me. But if there's no repentance, there's no turning to him. That's all there is to it.
Amen.
Well, phone lines are ringing. There it is. The sun, I have to apologize to the callers. The sun is shining so bright on the phone, I can't even see the phone lines ringing. Well,
you must have been asleep for a while.
Must have, man. I wasn't asleep, just talking. Good morning.
Hello, Richard.
Hey, good morning.
Oh, hey, I reached you. Good. I reached y'all. I want to tell you, God bless you. Thanks for all your work. Keep on trucking.
Well,
I have a little bit of different approach. I believe that there was a gauntlet laid down of sorts in Houston. And my take is on it, that all the preachers that received those directions, what edicts or whatever they were, they should have all started really putting together sermons to put in public records.
I agree, yeah.
Reveal it to the max. Every dirty thing there is about the Sodomites and how Israel suffered all through history and never let go. They should have joined their arms together. There should have been not just Second Chronicles 7:14 preached there. They should have taken verses and text from Bonhoeffer in Hitler's time and laid down the gauntlet on them.
It could have been done. You know, they had a perfect opportunity. They should have been excited that their sermons were getting subpoenaed. That should have excited them, because they should have said to themselves, "There's no wrong in this." You know, sent them
and come before Pharaoh and good point.
Those subpoenas
would have put it on record. It would have exposed it into the newspapers, possibly in news, and just bared down, hunkered down. And like I talked to one preacher, he's a good preacher. He said I had to preach them a new butthole, and that makes sense.
Yeah,
and it's attack time. It's Lexington. It's Hitler's time. Bonhoeffer wrote 10 years after. 10 years after, they just sat there and watched it be rode and just be attacked. And the church is being controlled, had them right in the iron grip. And that's my take on it, brothers, and I think that's where it should have gone. And it's not
too late. Holy Spirit inspired. I agree 100%.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes. God bless you all.
And you know, along those same lines, our pastor did that very thing. And boy, the time is running out, isn't it? Two things here. We have the LaPorte Church of Christ law brief. And it is an explanation. And the law brief that our pastor filed in response to
the state of Colorado coming against the LaPorte Church of Christ for standing up against the homosexual issue. If you'd like that, we'd be glad to send it to you. We have it. I had an Acres man text me this week asking about it. But it's called the LaPorte Church of Christ Law Brief. And it's relevant to what has recently happened in Texas.
Yeah.
And then and boy, we got another caller, but we're just out of time. We're down to 5 minutes before the hour.
Another powerful scripture is Mark 8:38, and we read that last week in church, I believe. But for whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory of the Father with his holy angels. That's another one that hits people right between the eyes when they, you know, if you look at the world today, they become embarrassed to proclaim to be a Christian because of the way that the Antichrist have shut it down.
Take praying over your meal. That's why a lot of so-called Christians don't pray over the meal at a restaurant. They don't want to be embarrassed.
Exactly.
And be ashamed. Yeah. And they are ashamed.
And pray over your meal, and at the end, I mentioned that Thursday night, do that. You get an opportunity to pray at a rodeo or at a gathering or something, pray it unashamedly in the name of Jesus Christ. Well,
loud and proud.
We got some callers, but callers, we just don't have time. We're just out of time. We got to invite you to church tomorrow. You can come to church with us at scriptures4america.org, 10 a.m. Sunday morning, Mountain Time, 11 a.m. Central, and noon on the East Coast. And we'll have a review of the news. We'll have a welcome there. You'll get to see John, and we'll have some good music. And very importantly, it's a time to gather together to repent and to remember that our Lord and Savior went to that cross to die for our sins, to enable us to do what we do today, and to save us. And so we will partake of communion, we'll remember his broken body and his blood, and we'll have a Holy Spirit-inspired message. So we do. We invite you to come to church with us and do that tomorrow. Men, thanks so much, and we'll go out with a song.
To God be the glory.
Amen.
Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, stay high. Fast and free together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old stakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, stay high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out. Ride them out, ride them more, stay high.
They're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride. Though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, barking will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, head them off, stay.